The Greg Kelly Podcast, yes. And what is the latest? You know about the 10 p.m. time, right? My Newsmax show is on at 10 o'clock for the time being. And it's great, the structure of my day, and it gives me a bit more breathing room, and I hope you've adjusted as well. So what else is going on? The WABC radio show is thriving. I have scaled it down on Twitter quite a bit. I'm still the same old me. It's just not as frequent. My expressions are not as frequent because, you know, it can be a distraction. I got other things going on. I got a family. I've got this. I've got that. And, you know, it was just, I was being an idiot. Not the content. I'm very proud of it, but just too much time on the phone. I just got an iWatch, Apple Watch, which actually helps me stay away from the phone. So far, so good. I like this thing. Wait a second. Did I just lose? Yeah. What happened to it? It just made a funny Oh, gosh. Turn digital. What's going on? It was working fine up until now. Anyway, I'm sure it's fine. What? It's all dim. I can't read it. There we go. All right. Jeez, it really did go to sleep on me. It's kind of obnoxious in a weird way. You know, I haven't figured out how to turn off all the notifications. It asks me questions. You know, are you on a walk right now? Would you like to record it? Maybe you should get up and move. You know, all these suggestions. And then I did try to sign up for the health program, and it wanted all these, you know, wanted to know about my weight problem. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about this. It's kind of an over enthusiastic gym teacher. But anyway, I do like the way it looks, and we'll see how it goes. And I do like, you know, wearing a cheap watch as opposed to it's not cheap, but compared to, you know, higher end watches, you know, that you hold on for 10, 20, 30 years, you don't want to lose those. If somebody comes up to you on the street and wants to rob you, parting with this will not be such a big deal if it comes to that. Crime is crazy out there in New York City. Anyway, I usually like to walk home, but because things are so crazy, I've been taking a cab. And the other night, I ran into this cab driver. His name is Hussein, and he just took such pleasure in his job. He just seemed to, you know, he went on and on about this unique feature on some street. I'm like, what? Because I thought he had gone through a red light, and he explained to me how, no, you can make this turn with lights like this. And he was just so passionate about it in the best way. So I said, you know, you may have a story to tell. I'd like to have a conversation with you. And he was a little skeptical. Who could blame him? Because I needed contact information, but he gave it to me. And at times I think he's a little standoffish because, you know, who's this guy asking all these questions? I don't blame him, but it's he's a great guy, and started in Ghana in 1966. That's when he was born. 8 brothers and sisters. He came over here. First he went to Nigeria, then he goes back to Ghana, but he always wanted to come to America, and he's here, and he's making it, working very hard for his family. And anyway, great guy. Here's a bit of our conversation. How long have you been driving a cab?
Since 2008.
2008. That's 14 years. Yes. So you and I, you know, one evening I just hailed a cab and I told you where I lived, and you knew something very unique about the street and how the red light camera worked. I don't know if you remember, but you told me this, and yes, you were kind of thrilled about it. It seemed to me like you take great pride in what you know about the city. Am I right?
Yes.
So let's see. You started driving in 2008. Is that the year you came to this country?
No.
Let's go all the way back. How old are you?
I was born in 1966.
And you were born in Ghana. Were you born in a big city or a smaller town?
Yeah, the second capital of Ghana, Kumasi.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have four brothers and four sisters.
And I don't know. I've never been to Ghana. I know it's on the west coast of Africa, right?
Yes.
And it runs north south. And I think Kofi Annan, the old UN chief, is from there.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about your family and what did your parents do?
Right now, my mom and my dad, they all pass away. They are so rest in perfect peace, but I still have my brothers and sisters, they're still alive. They're all in Ghana. I'm the only one that is here in the United States of America.
What did your father do?
Before my father is like a station manager for like buying a ticket if you want to take a buses to other states. He's selling a ticket for the city, for some buses, for traveling. Yeah.
Right. And did your mom work?
My mom before she was a vendor. Yes, she do work. Yeah, that's how she raised us, both my father and my mom.
That's a pretty big family. What kind of place did you live in? What was it like? Was it an apartment? Was it a house?
Here in
No, back in Ghana.
back in Ghana, it was a family house.
And what language do you speak there?
We speak Chi, Twi, which is the language of the Ashanti. And I also speak Hausa, originally from Nigeria. So I got both language. I speak both.
And in addition to English and anything else?
Yes, English. English, I went to school, but I never went far. I went, it's like, only in primary.
I'm sorry, only what?
A primary
Oh,
school.
primary school, yes.
Yeah, from kindergarten to primary school. I never been in a secondary, college, university, no.
When you were growing up, did you have to work?
Yeah, when I was growing up, I went to school. I'm going to school at that time, but it's like it's not enough to take care of me and the other brothers and sisters. So, I do like part-time job. It's like something, sell something on the street. When we vacate from the school, like how kids selling some candies on the street. Yeah, that's how I do to support myself.
When did you realize that you wanted to leave Ghana? You're the only one, all your brothers and sisters are all there. Did you realize at an early age you wanted to come to America?
Yeah, I realized in the early age that was 2003. I was 16 years. It's kind of my mom lost her job, and my father is not that strong to take care of us. So I moved to Nigeria, and I moved to Nigeria and spent 10 years in Nigeria, and then I came back, for American Dream.
Why did you go to Nigeria? What's the difference between Nigeria and Ghana?
At that time, Nigeria is one of the richest countries in Africa. So I decided to go there and have a different life to start looking for money and support my family.
What kind of work did you do there?
I was doing embroidery.
Embroidery.
Yes.
That takes a lot of skill and talent, doesn't it?
Yes.
How did you learn how to do that? Who taught you?
A friend of mine was there in Nigeria, so he told me to come. He teach me how to do it. So I've been doing it for so many years, like
Yeah.
12, 13 years. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned you wanted to you had to support a family.
Right.
When did you get married?
I married in 2007. Yes,
In
two
Nigeria?
no, in Ghana, when I
How many kids do you have?
right now, I have a one daughter, and I have a three orphans that live with me, so I got like four.
Well, okay, a couple things. Let me find how old is your daughter?
My daughter right now, she's 7 years. My biological daughter, she's 7 years.
So, but you have all these orphans. How did that happen?
They lost their family, both fathers and sisters, so I take care of them.
Did you know their fathers? Did you know their families?
Yes, I know the family.
How were they lost? What happened to the parents?
Yeah, it's like one of them, I know he was sick, but the rest, I think, is their time. Just God just took them,
Wow. All right, a couple of things. So when did you're in Nigeria for a while, then you go back to Ghana, and then I believe you said that's when you decided you what really wanted to go to America. What year was that?
I decided to come here in America. I was planning for so long, I didn't get a chance until 2004. I get a chance to come up here.
And what kind of chance is that? Like how did you get a chance? What does that mean?
It was a program. I was one of the member in the in our, how do you call it? A masjid. I'm a Muslim.
Your mosque.
Yeah, mosque. So we decided to come here for program. So during the program, I decided, not to go back.
Oh, it was like an exchange program of some kind?
Yeah.
All right. And did it take you right to New York or some other part of America?
Yeah.
No, did the program bring you to New York or somewhere else in the United States?
Yeah, it brings me to New York.
And so did you stay? Was there pressure on you to go home? Were you supposed to go home? Or were you, how did you manage to stay if this were just a temporary program?
After we finish the program, I'm supposed to go back, but I have a friend of mine, so I want to stay with him. Because I have an extension for like 6 month extension. So during the 6 month period, I decided not to go back, to stay here in the United States.
And do me a favor, just tell me a little bit about the program itself. Like you say, it was through your mosque. Through your mosque, was it to meet American Muslims? Was it a religious trip? What was it all about?
Yeah, to meet American Muslims.
So you come here, you stay. Do you stay? Forgive me for asking, but do you stay legally? Do you fill out the right paperwork? How did you handle that? Because they get very sensitive about that.
So after, after I decided to stay, and my wife passed away in Ghana, so I stuck. I can't go back to see to bury my wife, and then it's like I just stuck. So I'm married legally here. This is how, I got my papers.
Oh, you married an American woman.
Yes.
By the way, how did your wife die? I'm sorry.
I wasn't there, but I know she have a breast cancer before I left.
I see. I
So
see.
during the breast cancer,
Right.
I decided, I was supporting her very well when I was back in Ghana. So when I came here, I can see her, it's a lot of things. So
Why did you want to come to America? What was it about America? Why here? Why did you want to be here?
yeah, because since I was a child, My dream is, anytime I wake up, I say, oh God, give me $10,000. And everybody keeps start laughing at me. If you see $10,000, can you handle $10,000? I say, that's all my dream. I just want to hold a $10,000. So I was 6 years at that time. People have started laughing. Look at this child. I just want to come to America because I know so many things about America. When I was in Africa, I used to let this Stardust magazine, and there was a magazine called Atlas back in the days. It's like a Black Americans, you know, what do you call it? Magazine. So I used to, you know, they used to send me in Africa. So I read so many things about America, about American dreams, how the American is going, how the Black people are doing, how the white people are doing, how everybody coming from any other country to come to the United States to achieve his goal. So I tell myself, one day I'm going to be here. And I end up here and support my family.
And has it lived up to your expectations? I mean, are you happy that you came here? Are you happy being here?
Yes, I'm so happy. I'm so very, very happy because I know in America they have so many opportunities here. It's not like African countries, there is a lot of corruption. So I decided, you know, to stay, to live a legal life, like the life is going to be, like nobody is going to harm you in your life unless you harm yourself. So that's why I decided to come here and support my whole family.
So that's beautiful. Hey, can I ask you this? You come here, it's in 2007, 2008, right around there. You're a Muslim. You're Black. There are some people who believe in America that somebody like you would be discriminated against. I don't personally hold this view. I don't see that, but I'll ask you. Your opinion's more important than mine. And have you felt discrimination or prejudice based on your race or your religion?
Yes, all the time.
From whom?
From my own Black people. They're telling me to go back to my country. Go back to Africa. Go back to where you belong. Go back where you came from. You know, some of the white people, they said it to me. Go back to Africa. Go back to where you belong. Go back to... Because I took them like illiterate. Because they never travel. There is a lot of white people living in Ghana. Why they are there? They are there for business. They can make their business here in the United States of America, but they took their business to Africa. But we don't tell them, go back to your country. So whoever said that to me, I took him, it's like it's an illiterate. You don't know nothing about the world because this world is a globe. It goes round. People go round. People travel all over the world. If you didn't travel, you don't know what the world means. So that's how I took them.
When's the last time someone told you to go back to Africa? Think for a moment. When's the last time somebody actually said that to you?
It's like, I think it's going to be like, let me see. Oh, when I came back from Africa, that was last year in December, January this year. And he's a Spanish guy. He's a Spanish in Harlem. We're trying to make a right turn on 145th Street and Lenox Avenue to go across the bridge to the Bronx. He's trying to cut me off. I didn't give him a chance. He said to me, go fucking go back to your country. This is an America. But I know I came here legal. I don't know him. He can't even speak English, but he tell me to go back to my country. So this is one of the challenges that, you know, we've been having here, you know.
It sounds like it's mostly other, well, you said it was the first, it was black people who were saying it. In this case, it was a Spanish guy. Is it mostly people of color? You did mention white people sometimes give you a hard time, but I mean, is it mostly people of color?
The mostly people of color is the Spanish and black, those one. But the white people, you can see them, and once in a while you see somebody is telling you that. But when you look at the person, he don't even look like he's a real American. Some people that is coming from Italy, their parents came from Italy, Europe, whatever, in Europe, born here in the United States. Those two ones that are telling me, but the real Americans, I don't even see somebody is telling me that. The real, but you, if you look at the face, it looks like Italian or, you know, so Spanish, Spain, all this kind of Europe, like, you know, when they come up here and born their kids, those the ones that are telling people to go back. But the real white, I never see. Because I can see the difference on the face. If I look at you, I can see the difference of your face. You are European, because I've been dealing, my job is to deal with a lot of people. So I know the faces of Europe. I know some of them, I know their tongues. And some of them too, you know, I can tell by their walkings, I can see, because I'm dealing with like the whole people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of people that are telling you to go back to your country or whatever, you know, it's so sad. Like,
it's they're saying so much more about themselves, you know. It's just a terrible yeah. thing to say, and if you, I almost feel sorry for them. I'm yeah. sorry you have to endure that sometimes. Hey, you had one job, or maybe you had more. You said in America your first job was what? It wasn't driving a cab. What was the first thing you did?
The first thing I was doing a parking lot.
Parking lot?
Yes.
Doing what?
Park cars at the garages.
And how are the tips, by the way?
Excuse me?
How are the tips?
The tips was good.
You know, I parked my car in a lot of garages. They're yes. almost always very often they're from West Africa.
Right.
Why is that?
Because, you know, if you can see, like, the jobs here in United States, whoever comes first, like back in the days, I can say, or 50 or 70, 80 years ago, those who came here for the first time, the job that they did, when they come go back to their country and they tell people in their country, this is what I'm doing for a living. So when the person come, he want to make the same job that the person was doing it before. So this is how you're going to see it. Now, when you look at it, if you see the Caribbeans, when they come up here, some of them, you see them, they're doing the, like, housekeeping, HHA, you know, HHA. The men, you see them plumbing, that's all that. So it's the first people that came here. That's the job that they've been doing. So they're going to inform the people from their country, learn this job so when you come so that they can, you know, take you and then you're going to follow. So this is how you see, like, we follow all these steps.
Hey, before I ask, I want to ask you about what it's like driving a cab and how you got so good at it. But first, I am curious, Trump or Biden, which one do you prefer?
Excuse me, the question again?
Who do you like, Donald Trump or Joe Biden? Which one do you like better?
I like Biden.
Why?
Because Biden is a Democrat. And Democrat is stand for the poor people. That's why me, I believe. The Republicans, they go for the richest people. That's what I believe. I don't know somebody else for my belief. So anytime when I was in this country, I learned so many things about the following presidents. I see Bush regime. I see Obama regime. I see Trump regime, and I also see Biden. So it's kind of, I see two Republicans and I saw two Democrats. But when Democrats came, it looks like my job is okay. But with the Republican, I don't make nothing. So that's why I think Biden is the best.
All right. So how do you like driving a cab?
Yes, I love it. I love it because it's like an independent job. I can travel anytime that I want and come back anytime that I want and start my job. I'm not under nobody. So this is why I like driving a cab.
Do you own the medallion?
No.
Do you work for somebody who owns it? I mean, everybody has a boss. Or do you?
Yes.
Who's your boss?
I work on 44th Street between 10th and 11th.
So how did you get so good at, I mean, you know the city amazingly well, and yeah. Again, you take pride in it. How did you, I guess just from doing it every day, how did you absorb all this?
Yeah, you know, it's like when I start driving, I follow up the light and look at the light, how the light is doing. So during my first year, it was tough. And the second year, I would start looking at the light, the way the light is going. So, if I'm not wrong, the light in the city, they change 3 times in a year. The summertime is different, the winter is different, and the rainy season is different. And sometimes when you see, you're going to come up the day, and you're going to see, like, when you go, like, 10 blocks, you're going to see a blinking light. You go to another borough, and you're going to see all this blinking light. The whole city is blinking light. So it's like the light want to change this into the different level. That's why you see those blinking lights. So they're changing the system in the city. So when they change the system, you, the driver, you have to know. If you go, like, let's say, for example, on 3rd Avenue, started from housing, if the lights keep changing, it's going to take you all green, all the way to like 125th Street. But when you come, they change the light, and when you go like 10, 15 blocks, you're going to stop at the light.
Hey, is Uber giving you a hard time? I mean, Uber's out there, and that's pretty competitive. Has the job changed a lot with Uber around?
Some parts, yes. Some parts, no. Before the Uber, we was having a hard time in the garage. At the garage, you can stay for like 1 hour, 30 minutes, from 30 minutes, 1 hour, up to maybe from 25 minutes up to 1 hour before they dispatch you with the car. But when the Uber came, some of the drivers shipped to Uber. Before, we don't have a respect in the garages. Now we have more respect in the garages because of the Uber. So that's why I say some part, yes, some part, no.
So, what are the hours like? Oh, do you ever get into arguments with passengers who think they know a better way to go? Or do they kind of just look at their phone and leave you alone?
All the time, almost like every day you can get one.
They know better and they give you a hard time.
They go by the GPS. For me, I don't drive with the GPS. Once in a while, when you tell me to put on my Waze or whatever, I'll put on the Waze and scroll up and look which way it's gonna take me. And then I'm gonna close. I'm not driving with the with the Uber, with my GPS. But the passenger wants you to go the way he wants to. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. Because I drive, probably maybe you get out from you come out, you're trying to go to work. And you tell me, for example, take Second Avenue all the way down. Meanwhile, me, I already passed Second Avenue and I saw there is a big construction on Second Avenue. If I go there, we're gonna get stuck. So I don't wanna go there. I will tell the passenger. If the passenger tell me, oh, okay, sometimes you get like 90%, they tell you, oh, you know better. So go the way, you know. But most of the time, the people that are telling you to go the way they want to go, most of the time they stay home being lazy in the house. They're trying to rush you, the driver, to take them. So they put the GPS and tell you to follow the GPS. Sometimes you follow the GPS and you're stuck. But you don't have to argue with the passenger because sometimes the passenger, they know better because they go there all the time. Every day it's like the way go to work and go back home. But you, the driver, you working, it's like you're going everywhere. So you know better than the passenger. But they're trying to give you a hard time. But you know, for back in the days, I went to school and get the license. It's not like now the Uber drivers, some of the yellow taxi drivers, they just got the license. As soon as your license qualified for 6 months, you're allowed to drive a taxi. But back in the days, we went to school. You have to pass 71 geography, 26 English test before you get your license. So you it's a big challenge at that time for you to become a taxi driver. So this is how we learned the city. We've been driving without a GPS back in the days,
Are
but now
you
it's a, yeah.
you're practicing Muslim?
Yes.
What for a non-Muslim like me, what does that mean? What are the basic tenets and when how do you practice? How do you what is tell me a little bit about what it's like to practice your faith.
My mom and my dad, they're both Muslims. So I grew up in Muslim.
And do you pr I think do you pray 3 times a day pointing to Mecca, or is it twice a day?
I pray 5 times a day. When I spoke to you right now, I came from prayers and I parked my car talking to you right now.
Wow. five times a day.
Yes.
You can, and you have to point toward Mecca, correct?
Yes.
And is that standard, five times a day?
Yes.
Do you read from the Quran?
Yeah, I read Quran.
And what are your hopes and dreams? You're driving a cab right now. You're 55 years old, 56?
Yeah.
What do you want for the future? What are you working toward?
I'm working towards my daughter and the three orphans that I have.
What do you want for them?
I want them to come here in the United States to make the difference, to face the challenge in the United States, to become a doctors, lawyers, to have a better dream, better life here in the United States. That's my dream right now.
A couple more quick things. How do you relax? What do you like to do for fun?
For fun?
Yeah.
Only me. I'm married. Right now, I'm married. I have a new wife in Ghana, but she's not here. We separate with the wife that I'm here. We separate. So, you know, it is like kind of, you know, too many things. So we've been separate for so long. So I went back to Africa. You know, it's not illegal, but I have a girl, have fun with me. But here, I don't do nothing. My job is my fun.
Your job. I understand. It seems like you get pleasure out of it. Day to day, it seems like you really like what you do, though. At least that's how you struck me when I met you. Is that true? Do you like it?
Yes, I like you.
Well, I love that you're here. America is better, much better with you and folks like you. Yeah. And hopefully me too. Hussein,
yes.
Thank you for your time very, very much.
You're welcome.
Well, many thanks to Hussein, an incredibly hardworking man. Did you hear that? He doesn't really have fun. He just is work is family is work. Good for him. He's making a difference, and I appreciate his getting me home safe. He knows all the ins and outs, and it's one of the guys who really makes the world work, okay? So to be continued, yes, I am on Twitter. We talked about that. I'm also at the Newsmax at 10 o'clock weeknights and on the radio, WABC 1 to 3, and a couple of other cool things coming down the pike. To be continued, many, many thanks.